It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. And Grambling State just beat Montana State 88-81 in overtime. Grambling State is heading in to the big dance. Grambling State is moving on to the field of 64. Grambling State, congratulations. You got a matchup against Purdue. Good luck about that. We got one more game here in the first four before we move on to the field of 64 starting tomorrow. Colorado, Boise State, going to go ahead and wrap things up. You see, it's good to have more basketball in a week. It's not just about 64. Now we got 68. Congratulations. Thank you for listening to the show. You can always tune in on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. You can listen on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate. Hey, a big shout out to all of the producers and board operators, people that are all over the country holding it down, getting to that money. Just keep getting to the money. You reading a book? You on social media? I don't know what the hell you're doing. I'm sitting here with you. You're here too, so thank you so much. Hey, shout outs to folks at SiriusXM channel 158. Everybody listening on a smart speaker, all you got to do is ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. We've had a busy day, a busy evening. I just told you about Grambling State knocking off Montana State 88-81. Grambling will take on Purdue. I told you about Colorado getting ready to take on Boise State. That'll close out the first four of the tournament. In about 20 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with a head coach who took his team to the Final Four last year, Dusty May from Florida Atlantic. He's going to come through and have a chat with us in about 20 minutes. He's up in Brooklyn right now. His squad is getting ready to take on Northwestern. Florida versus Chicago in New York. Sounds like a hell of a thing to watch. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. It's Wednesday, and so I delivered to you a new top six list. We talked about some of the biggest upsets that we have seen in sports history. I delivered to you my six. I told you the Miracle on Ice, North Carolina State over Houston, Villanova over Georgetown, the New York Giants beating those Patriots, Mike Tyson losing to Buster Douglas, and then number one, I gave you the New York Football Jets beating the Colts in 1969. That's the New York Jets' only Super Bowl championship. It is 2024. If you missed the full explanations, if you missed the audio and the plays and what have you, you can go ahead to the last hour and hit rewind on the free Audacy app. We also had a good old time in the first hour of the show. Not only will we have Dusty May joining us in about 20 minutes, earlier in the show, we spoke to the head coach of BYU. Mark Pope came through and joined us. This man won a national championship with Kentucky, I want to say, in 96. My apologies to anybody in Kentucky who says, JR, you screwed up and got it wrong. But Mark Pope came through, and we had an amazing conversation. BYU is going to take on Duquesne tomorrow afternoon, early in the afternoon in Omaha, Nebraska. And BYU, they're used to being here. It's been a few years, but they're used to being here. In Duquesne, well, they haven't been in the tournament in 47 years. Good luck to Mark Pope's squad as they go out there and just, I think, bombs away from three. So we got a lot to do this hour. Of course, I'm going to let you know about something that took place this day in sports history. Today was a busy day in sports outside of March Madness. We learned that Shohei Ohtani, while he's playing baseball in South Korea, open season for the Dodgers or season opener for the Dodgers. They beat the Padres early this morning. At the beginning of our show, we learned that Shohei Ohtani's interpreter has been fired because he allegedly stole $4.5 million from Shohei Ohtani to repay gambling debt. Gambling is illegal. Sports gambling is illegal in California, by the way. This story is not going to go away. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Let's get to some of your calls before we chat it up with Dusty May, who will now be here in 15 minutes. Hey, we got Matt. He's calling from Arkansas. You're on the JR Sport Beat Show. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, JR. How are you doing, sir?
I'm amazing. What's up?
Oh, nothing, man. I love listening to your voice. You have a great, great voice on the radio. But, you know, you're talking about Toa Tawny's interpreter, $4.5 million. I mean, yeah, that sucks. That's more money that I could ever make in 20, 30 lifetimes. But the real tyrant is Don King, in my opinion.
Oh, damn.
That's my opinion. And nobody ever talks about Don King.
Wait a minute.
I mean, he promoted...
Go ahead. No, finish. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, he went all the way from, you know, obviously the great Muhammad Ali to Joe Frazier to Roy Jones Jr. and obviously Mike Tyson's where it came out, you know. And to me, he made more money off of that than what Otani's interpreter did.
Matt, and listen. I think we get that. Why? You said nobody talks about Don King? So, hold on, Matt. I just want to put this into perspective. Nobody is talking about Don King because he's not relevant, okay? I last saw Don King. I'm big into boxing. I go to all the events. There was a point in time, maybe about last year, before they now went defunct. Like, I know folks at Showtime Box. Like, I'm into boxing, man. I was at a press conference. I don't even know what fight it was. I think it was Miguel Cotto years ago. And I'm looking. Don King is standing right there next to me. I'm having a conversation with Don King. I don't know when this was. Like, 8, 9 years ago? Maybe less. Don King is in his 90s right now. Nobody cares about Don King. Everybody knows he's a crook. That's almost like saying that, allegedly. That's like saying that, hey, JR, why aren't we talking about the sky being blue? Because we know it is. Or at least it's the reflection of the oceans in the atmosphere. Go ahead.
No. And I completely agree with you. I mean, you made a great statement on that. I'm just saying that Don King is a freaking crook.
Well, that's nothing new. Look, I've had Bob Arum, right? You know who that is?
Yeah.
Top-ranked boxing promoter. I've had Bob Arum here on this show multiple times, okay? There are plenty of people who would tell you that Bob Arum is a crook, allegedly. But the fact is, it's like it's old news. Like, what is that? He's not relevant. He's not doing nothing right now. So what do you want from me? Not necessarily me, but what is there to talk about? Nothing. Shohei Ohtani's guy is allegedly the crook now, and so he's in the news, Matt. You're not a crook, are you? You're not a crook?
No, sir, I'm not.
Oh, so nothing to worry about. Hey, Matt, thank you for calling from Arkansas.
Thanks, JR. We'll see you, bud.
No problem. Hey, Hickey, why don't we talk about the Black Sox scandal? You ready?
Ty Cobb was not a very good guy. Let's talk about him, too. Should we talk about Pete Rose again?
Oh, which element?
Yeah. We have a lot of shows just talking about, trying to knock that down.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Shohei Ohtani, his interpreter allegedly took $4.5 million. But what's his name? That Don King was a bigger crook. Like, I'm sure he was. I think if you put Mike Tyson and Don King in a room right now, I could tell you who it's not going to end nicely for. It's Don King. We know about the crooks out here, allegedly crooks. Hey, Hickey, I don't need nobody saying, hey, I don't need no lawsuits coming my way, okay?
Way to save your ass, just using the A word, allegedly.
Allegedly, I don't know.
Hearsay, rumors say, reports say.
Bob Arum did not take no money from me. Don King didn't take no money from me. I know what everybody else says, though. Doesn't mean it's true. I leave it to you to decide. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Jay is calling up from Knoxville. in Tennessee. You're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Jay? Hey, Jay, you're live on the radio.
Hey, what up, JR?
What's going on? Go ahead.
How you doing, bro?
I'm excellent. Go ahead. What's up? What's on your mind?
Man, so my number one is J.J. Barea versus LeBron.
But okay. You're talking about the NBA Finals?
Yes, when J.J. Barea made LeBron his little stepchild, yes. But okay. I got to ask you.
Yes.
You're number one.
Hold on a second, Jay. Hickey, do we have enough time for this call?
I don't know. Coach is calling 10 minutes. We may get 10 minutes just to get to the second one here.
Hey, Jay, go ahead, man. You got to go ahead, Jay. Hurry up.
Hey, you're number one. You're number one. I got to ask. Why is your number one your number one?
The number one is the number one because the NFL is obviously the biggest sport here in the country. I gave it some historical perspective, being that we had an AFL team versus an NFL team.
Who's the other player?
Oh my God! Sheesh, Hickey, how did he go from 0 to 100 real quick?
That's impressive. That is very impressive.
It is. Go ahead, Jay. If you don't like, he's gone. He hung up faster than he could even say anything. Now I'm the bad guy, Hickey.
Also love right in the middle of, if you don't like what I got to say, boom, he's out of there.
Yeah, I'm like, if you want to ask a question, which he was trying to do and I'm trying to answer it, help me out here. I think I was listening. Wasn't I explaining it and he was didn't he cut me off?
Yes.
Right, I'm just like, what are we doing here?
NFL, biggest sport, and then all of a sudden, I don't think he got much out after that.
Yeah. It stinks. 855-212-4CBS. Alan is calling from Toronto. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Alan.
The 2019 preliminary round, the Tampa Bay Lightning were the best team overall. They were a President's Trophy winner and the best team in the history of hockey, 128 points. Columbus Blue Jackets, 88 points, a 40-point differential. Columbus Blue Jackets defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-0. And in the final 3 games, they did not even trail even once. The major upset. If I was to tell you that the Columbus Blue Jackets are going to win 4 straight against Tampa Bay, you would have said, am I hearing you right? You mean the other way around. Of course you mean the other way around. Tampa Bay's going to wipe them out, you know, in no time in 4 games. You know, there's no way anybody's going to flag down that powerful express. Even Highway Patrol won't be able to catch them, you know.
Oh, wow. Highway Patrol.
This was the upset of the century, the absolute upset of the century.
The century?
Yes, I would say the century. What was the bigger upset? I mean, this was in 4 games. The other games that you were mentioning were just 1 game, and anybody can lose a game.
Anybody could win a game. Well, it's not necessarily just a game. It's the process that led up to get there. And these, as I mentioned to our caller in the last hour, I put emphasis on championship, win or go home.
Yeah, okay. This was a major upset. I mean, you know, it's a 40-point difference.
Not to say that they were not or it was not. I just put a major emphasis on winning a championship. That's it. That's not to say that these were not other upsets. I can sit around thinking about plenty of upsets. I just put major emphasis on championship games. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson was a championship game. What about Holyfield, 25-1? That was a bigger upset. That was almost as big an upset.
Well,
November 9th, 1996.
Well, Alan, I only got room for 6 here, Alan. I mean, would you say that if we got to take a look at impactful heavyweights, are you telling me that Evander Holyfield was a more impactful heavyweight than Mike Tyson?
No, but he beat him, though. He beat him very squarely.
Yeah.
Round 11, he knocked him out after TKO.
Yeah, but if I go back 7 years prior, Mike Tyson, nobody wanted to see the dude. He was still killing people quickly, and then he lost.
Yeah, James Braddock and Max Baer was a big upset, too. It's 21-1 odds, 20-1 odds way back in 1938.
Yeah, well, I wasn't alive to see it. Did you see it?
My grandparents were there. Oh, my grandfather was there, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'm making sure, Alan. Well, thank you for calling from Toronto. Appreciate you.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Great show, as always. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Without a shadow of a doubt. Like, did you see that in 1938? How old Alan would have had? Well, he could have, well. Well, let's see. 29, he could have been in his 90s, and he actually might have remembered it. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk to a basketball coach. You want to talk about upsets? Man, he went to the Final Four last year. He's trying to go back this year and go even further. We're going to talk to Dusty May, the head coach of Florida Atlantic University. They're getting ready to get into the big dance tomorrow, starting in Brooklyn against Northwestern. Dusty May of Florida Atlantic. On the other side of the break is the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We had to come back with some Rod Wave because I heard our guest joining us right now appreciates some Rod Wave. Right now on the line is the head coach of Florida Atlantic. They're trying to go on another run like they did last year and go even further. Joining us is head coach Dusty May. Hey, coach, thank you for hopping on. Appreciate the time.
Hey, it's great to be on.
No doubt about it. Now, what's this deal? We heard that you like Rod Wave. They asked all the coaches, and they said you like Rod Wave.
Well, you know, I liked Hubert Davis's response. I'm not that old, and I think when we grow up listening to a certain genre of music, and I like all types, the rap, R&B was always my favorite. Rock was a close second. And Rod Wave, just he's mellow, he's chill. So I told some people that tweeted at me, it's not like I'm sitting here listening to Onyx as I'm watching film. I mean, it's smooth, it's laid back, and so I was a little bit surprised of the backlash, especially when I'm simply trying to support a St. Pete guy and ride the wave.
Oh, I appreciate the answer. I would have been impressed. I like Rod Wave. I also like Onyx. I wouldn't mind a little bit of Slam. You got to play that in practice, okay?
Yeah, you just can't chill with it.
I hear that. Hey, Dusty May is here with us, the head coach of Florida Atlantic. We know that you're going to get things ready and rolling against Northwestern on Friday. I guess my first question is overall about the season. How was the transition, if any, this first year in the AAC?
Well, it was a lot different. You know, several teams moved into the new league, but as is the case with most college basketball, there's really no familiarity from year to year with the same teams because the rosters change. But the individual talent in the American Conference was impressive. The guards are big, they're strong, they have elite playmaking skills, and so. Yeah, we were impressed with the individual talent. The thing that probably separates the American and the Conference USA. Conference USA probably had more returning players or more continuity. So the team chemistry was maybe a little bit better, but the American's been it's been a great league for us this year, especially the television package. It's been a confluence of a lot of things that came together at the right time.
And Dusty May is here from the Florida Atlantic Owls. You want to talk about continuity from last year. We know you guys went over and went out to the Final Four, and you returned a lot of the same players. What were some of the adjustments, or what was some of the emphasis of growth that you wanted to make for this season?
Well, we went into the off season and we were going to tweak some things, and we were going to make some adjustments, so we didn't get bored with it. And we probably skipped a few steps, the foundation. We played so well in May and June and July in our spring and summer workouts that it looked like we hadn't missed a beat. And we were competing at a high level. And then once practice started in the fall, we got a little bit loose with the fundamentals, especially on the defensive end. And once you have to go back, then it's tougher as opposed to just starting and building step by step. We probably started on step 5 or 6 and then had to go back to 2 and 3. And that's not the way you would typically plan it as a teacher. The other thing is we thought we could get a little bit more for everyone. We knew it's human nature. We had an entire off season of hearing how great we were, and we thought we could get a little bit more for everyone. So we wanted to get more possessions. We wanted to send more guys to the offensive glass and play more up-tempo. In reality, the messaging should have been that there's not going to be – we can't count on any more for the individual, but there could still be a lot more for the group. And because as it happened, everyone wanted some, they wanted more, and even subconsciously, they wanted more than they even realized. So, and some of the roles changed. We had a couple guys emerge and make big, big leaps and jumps in their game. So then that actually took a little bit away for some other guys. So it's been different challenges, but as I told someone the other day, I've been coaching maybe 25 years. Last year's team was the most enjoyable group I've ever been around. And I would say this year is a close second. So it's still been a lot of fun and very rewarding.
Head coach of the Florida Atlantic Owls, Dusty May, is joining us here at the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. You talk about particular players who have taken jumps. If anyone hasn't watched you guys throughout the course of the season and is going to be tuning in for the first time since what we saw last year against San Diego State, you know, who are some of those players who have made some jumps that we might be able to see to show up in big time on Friday?
Well, John L. Davis was co-player of the year in our league with Chris Youngblood from South Florida and Vladislav Golden. Those two guys, when you just look at the trajectory of their stat, their game, everything since they've been here, they've made significant jumps year in, year out. And those two have made an even bigger jump this year from a metric standpoint, from a efficiency standpoint. So both of those guys have done that, and on the defensive end, Golden has really improved as well. And like a lot of big guys, I mean, he controls his body better now. He's able to I guess, move and anticipate better angles. So it's the growth that he's made defensively has allowed us to improve here as of late. But those two guys have made significant jumps from last year.
Well, Coach, I know last year there was a lot of noise made in Madison Square Garden with your team. You have an opportunity and a chance to launch again in New York City, this time on the other side of the river out in Brooklyn, New York. Is that something you pay a little bit of attention to, or is it just like, hey, we're back in New York, let's get to work and keep it moving?
Well, it's familiar, and we played the Jimmy B here in the Garden in early December. So we that was kind of our reunion trip or ceremonial trip. This seems more like business, and this year definitely feels a lot different than last year. Last year was so new, everything was unknown. Our guys now, they know what to expect. They know it's going to come down to playing really good basketball for 40 minutes. And all this other stuff is fine, but we're here on a business trip. Last year we were just kind of feeling our way out, just kind of pacing and you know, looking around the corner to see what's next.
What have you seen from the campus and the community, knowing that you went on a run last year, you're back in a tournament again this year? This is all still new for the school in a general sense. How have you seen things grow as we've continued to move on as this organization, as a squad, has more success?
Well, it was gradual last year where we got ranked early in the year and our game started becoming an event and the big ticket. And then obviously through our, and we had some, we had several sellouts last year towards the end of the year. And our arena is not big, but in South Florida, you don't need a big arena. There's a lot to compete with. And then this year, almost every game was sold out. We had some of the best environments in college basketball. It was an event. Several hundred students would be turned away each game.
Wow.
And so it's really cool to see a new university that was once a commuter school turn into a place where the students have unbelievable pride in wearing their gear, living on campus, and experiencing the environment that a really proud athletic team can provide. And it's something for the students to rally around and show pride in. So it's done a number of things. And, you know, I've been at schools that had great basketball tradition, and I've been at schools that had none. Yeah. I've never been anywhere that it went from almost zero to where we are now. So, but as anyone knows, it's very, very difficult to sustain. But we thought if we could do it 2-3 years in a row, we could it could be something where people had our games on their calendar, their kids. It was a routine on Saturday afternoons to go watch the Owls.
Hey, well, Coach, that's a testament to you and the work that you've put in addition to your staff and, of course, the athletes out on the floor. As we start to wrap things up, Northwestern is the opponent in Brooklyn on Friday. When you take a look at the squad, what are some of the concerns that you have? What has popped out to you on tape?
They're incredibly physical. They control the tempo of games. They don't beat themselves. They shoot the ball incredibly well. And they, I think they have great role definition or self-awareness. One of the two things, because they all play to their strengths. They know who their best players are and their creators are, and they let those guys do that, and they all support and play off of them very well. So, but their team defense is impressive. They're on a string, five guys moving together, playing with, like I said, a lot of physicality. So we're going to have to move the ball. We're going to have to figure out ways to get some driving kicks and get them off balance a little bit. But they present a number of challenges. And then, I mean, obviously with Boo Boo, you got a guy that's capable of getting 30 or 40 because of his ability to create offense and shoot from deep while being able to get to the rim, mid-range, draw fouls. He scores at every level. I mean, he's an All-American for a reason.
Hey, Coach, final question for you. There's been a lot of talk and conversations about the current tournament, potential expansion, who gets in, who doesn't get in. I mean, if you think about things from your perspective, you know, maybe the Owls wouldn't necessarily get the same type of respect if some of these changes went forth. What do you think about the standing and getting in and in a potential expansion?
Yeah, I would lean towards no expansion, but I'll be brief. But you have two sides of it. Number one, you have 360 or so teams now, and only 68 get in. So obviously that's a small percentage of teams that are able to play in the biggest postseason tournament. But it's the greatest tournament on the planet, so why would you change it? The other thing, if we are going to make it more exclusive and I guess more favorable towards the Power Five, then let's do something with the scheduling and really, really reward the teams that schedule the right way, meaning they don't just play home games and then two or three neutral site games and you know, and not give good lows and good mid and majors an opportunity to play. And especially, I heard Matt Painter say it in a press conference the other day that, you know, they would play Indiana State. Obviously, we wouldn't play them at third place, but we have such a great home court environment. Why wouldn't we play them at home? And they played Samford, who's a tournament team at home. So, you know, you at least got to give the lows and mids an opportunity to play at your place. But the neutral site games, as we saw this year, were so beneficial to us. And they were all set up by television. So, you know, it's the chicken or the egg. I don't know. But without our neutral site games against Arizona and Tommy Lloyd, thank goodness, we wouldn't be here either. And the ESPN event in Orlando Thanksgiving, where we were able to beat Butler, Virginia Tech, and Texas A&M, those games we wouldn't have been able to play. And so this would look a lot different if TV didn't, you know, make those games happen.
And most certainly, we've seen the growth in what you guys have been able to do. Well, Coach, you mentioned Arizona. Good luck on Friday. Good luck getting to Phoenix. I wish you guys nothing but the best, and hopefully we chat on down the line. Appreciate the time as you get ready to prepare.
I look forward to it.
No doubt about it. That head coach of Florida Atlantic, the Owls, Dusty May, here on CBS Sports Radio. The Owls are getting ready to take on Northwestern. That will go down Friday in Brooklyn, New York. A Dusty May taking that team on a wild ride last year to the Final Four. And always a pleasure to talk to a Dusty May, someone who was also very, very close to the late Bob Knight. And I think that's the last time that we spoke to Dusty May here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS is the number. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to get some more of your calls. We're going to go ahead and take a quick wrap-up and review of everything that we've discussed tonight.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Thank you again to Florida Atlantic University head coach of the Owls, Dusty May, for joining us in the last break. If you missed the conversation, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Yeah, some great interviews today. Thank you so much to Dusty May. Earlier on in the show, we had a conversation with Mark Pope, head coach of BYU. His team is going to be in action tomorrow against Duquesne. And for Dusty May and the Owls, they'll be in action on Friday afternoon in Brooklyn, New York, against Northwestern. If I was going to take a little bit of a hint, I'd go with both of the coaches that we just spoke with to win their respective games. It's just a little bit of an inkling, and not just because we spoke to them and had them on air. A little bit more dignified than that. We've had a busy show. Top six list. Talked about some of the biggest upsets in sports. It's just a lot. Let's get to the phone lines. Let's talk about something that took place this day in sports history. And then, if you didn't hear what happened with Shohei Ohtani getting robbed by his interpreter, we'll play that too. 855-212-4CBS. Carmen is here from Knoxville, Tennessee. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Carmen. Hey, Carmen, you're live on the radio. Carmen got abducted by aliens. That's good. I'm so confused. Hickey. You're not Shep. You're Hickey, right?
I am Hickey, yes.
I'm confused because Shep is coming up next, right?
That is correct, yes.
He's here for Winkler?
Yes.
Where the hell is he at? Is he in the studio already? Somewhere, right?
Yes.
Wait, he's in front of you?
He just walked into the studio.
Oh, and tell him I said hello.
I will send the message along.
I'm sure he can hear it. He's in the studio. Well, good for him. Anyway, this is a prime opportunity, Hickey, for us to just take a quick rerun with what happened with Shohei Ohtani today. Let's take a listen to that clip courtesy of KTLA.
Just into the newsroom, the LA Times is reporting that Dodger superstar Shohei Ohtani may have been swindled out of millions by his longtime interpreter. According to the Times, Ipe Mizuhara reportedly placed bets with an Orange County man who is under federal investigation. The Times is saying that possibly millions of dollars had been stolen over the years. Amid the allegations, the Dodgers have fired the interpreter. Ohtani is currently in Seoul, South Korea for the season opening series against the San Diego Padres.
Man, how long is this story going to go on? Like literally, it's going to go on for months and a couple of years, right?
I mean, this feels like, with the little answers we have so far and how much money, yeah, this is not one of those classic 24-hour news cycles that we move on. This feels like it's going to linger for a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a federal investigation. Now, here's the irony, right? You ready for this one? Shohei Ohtani is going to have to answer questions about his interpreter with a new interpreter. Or do you think they take the approach of Shohei Ohtani is not going to discuss this and just they kind of just bury it as much as they can?
Ooh, I didn't think about that. You're right. Is that a court-ordered translator?
No, I'm talking about just for the season. He's going to be in front of the media in a few more hours for the next game, and eventually he's going to go back to Los Angeles, and everybody's going to be in his face asking him about this. And of course, all he can say is no comment unless they make it very clear. And I guess it's easier to say when he doesn't publicly speak English. It's not like Sammy Sosa from like 20 years ago. He's like, hey, I spoke English for 30 years, and now I don't speak none. It's not like Ohtani. He doesn't have to answer anything. Right? He doesn't have to say anything.
I mean, I guess from the baseball media, yeah. But, like, if to your point, like, if there's, like, an investigation, you got to go to, you know, court or federal court. Like, no comments. Oh. Not going to fly.
Oh, man. That sucks. Like, Shohei Ohtani, his whole reputation has just been baseball, 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 baseball. Nothing else. And now he has to deal with this crap? He's going to get caught. We're going to see Shohei Ohtani on the stand? We're going to, right?
Now, I have to read a little bit more. So this is, I'm not trying to play a dangerous game here, but there is, at least from my sense, looking on social media, there's been a big push from the Ohtani camp that he's not involved in gambling.
You think this gets dirty?
Are they saying that? And also you look at the timeline, like they volunteered, the Ohtani camp volunteered the translator to ESPN for an hour and a half interview, and now they fired him after that. I just wonder, if this is kind of going back to your first thing of how long it's going to last. Is this a joint venture?
I think it is legitimate. So look at this and just say, it could be dirty.
Ohtani is involved.
How could we not? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows.
No, we don't.
Just looking at the statements that we have so far just don't add up. There are differing statements where Ohtani has paid it off, and then he paid off his debt, and then it's just the translator says he's not involved in any type of way. And I don't know. We don't know the timeline. It doesn't make sense. It would be one hell of a story, and I, like you, will toe the line because I do not know. But it would be pretty bad if Ohtani, who they said his lawyers say he wasn't involved, if he was involved in some type of way, because everything about Ohtani and his reputation has been sterling. We haven't heard anything. He literally is like a baseball machine. The man has come over from Japan, plays baseball. We just found out the guy is married. He got married. We didn't find out who the wife was. I didn't know Ohtani had a life enough to go have a wife. The man is in Los Angeles. You never see him. It's baseball, 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 at least publicly. I don't know. Maybe he gets on a private jet and disappears into a private oasis in Japan. I have no idea. This is just an intriguing story because we know very little about Shohei Ohtani. And the first time that he's involved in any type of controversy is this. And we don't know. We have conflicting stories as to what's taking place. It's just, it's wild and wild as hell. We'll see what happens. This ain't going away. Certainly not what anybody wants to deal with, let alone the Dodgers. Wild stuff. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Before we roll out, got to tell you about something that took place this day in sports history. You don't got to go back too far. Let's go to 2016. Let's think about the March Madness tournament. Let's think about Texas A&M beating Northern Iowa. Took them two overtimes, knocked them off, won the game 92-88. The big deal, Texas A&M overcame a 12-point deficit in 44 seconds. They overcame a 10-point deficit in 30 seconds. You want to talk about the biggest comeback ever in college basketball in the tournament? Well, here you have it. Let's take a listen, courtesy of True TV.
Aggies get it back. Looking for a miracle. House lays it in. No timeouts either side. Jesperson throws it in. Jones dunks it down.
Attack the basket, score two.
House tries the three and drills it. Daniel House has put. Jesperson will inbounds.
Great
the
play.
Home run to Carlson for the dunk. Back to a two-possession game. Still a two-possession game. Caruso. Finger roll counted. A foul. Austin trapped in the corner. No timeouts for the Panthers. So Washman throws it into the hands of the Aggies. Gilder lays it in. Tie game 71.
Never thought this was even possible with 44 seconds to go.
The Aggie season was over with 44 seconds left in regulation. And now they're on to the Sweet 16 in Anaheim.
Yeah, and ultimately they lost to Oklahoma. Hey, a big shout out to Daniel House. I don't know where the hell he's playing. It's typically on somebody's bench. Last I checked, he was in Houston. Can't remember. And then also a big shout out to Alex Caruso. You might know Alex Caruso. Played with LeBron James. Got himself a title. Alex Caruso right now on the Chicago Bulls. Why? I have no idea. The Bulls should have traded him, but the Bulls, absolutely stupid of an organization. And speaking of stealing, this is also some news that came down the pipe. It's not just allegedly Shohei Ohtani, his interpreter. Stole money from Shohei, allegedly. The Minnesota Timberwolves, they have fired their analyst. One of their analysts, Somakh Sarkar, for allegedly stealing thousands of internal files, including strategic NBA information from a team executive. Wild stuff. Minnesota Timberwolves told ESPN they are aware of the allegations, had no further comment at this time. Hickey, is there something in the air? I know people steal. People have been stealing forever. Who's stealing next? We got an analyst stealing. Jacksonville Jaguars had a guy steal, what, $20 million? Shohei Ohtani's interpreter stealing? Are we going to find out that, I don't know, the Steinbrenners are stealing from Yankee fans?
I mean, baseball players, coaches in football stealing signs.
Oh.
There's a lot of stealing right now in the last few years in sports. Maybe it is stealing from the fans next. Well, didn't Daniel Snyder was doing that, wasn't he? He was stealing money from ticket sales and holding it from the other owners.
Oh, yeah. He was trying to cook the books.
Yeah. They're stealing right there. Every level.
Now he's gone. What yacht is Daniel Snyder on? What do you think he's at right now?
You know what? I hate to say it. He's a real winner.
Yeah, what do you get, like $6 billion a leaf?
To go away and live a life. Yeah, he's Caribbean island.
Maybe he's miserable. You know, they say money doesn't buy happiness.
True.
Yeah, I hope he's miserable. He treated them Washington fans like crap. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much to super producer and host Ryan Hickey. Thank you to everybody tuned in. If you missed a minute or a second of the show, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. But don't move here on CBS Sports Radio. The JR Sport Brief Show is done. But Shep, David Shepard, my man, is holding it down for Bart Winkler coming up next. Thank you so much, Ryan Hickey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.